All the way from Boston, Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico. I didn't think you looked like a Boston fan sitting back there. Good to have all of you here. Be in prayer for the bus routes. We had a couple of kids with things going on tonight at school still yet, so we're missing about 7 or 8 of our kids from the bus route tonight, so be in prayer for them that they'll be back in their place next week. Looking forward to what God will have for us the rest of this week as we serve Him. I was reading an article today about a dying church, or dying churches, may I say, and it was a 20-year process. I thought, my soul, if it takes me 20 years to die, Lord, come, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But it talked about whether or not a church looked like its community or did not look like its community. And that was one sign, whether or not it was dying. So we got to kind of look in the mirror every now and then. Well, how do you know what the community looks like? I'm glad you asked. You got to get out in the community. You got to go door to door, visiting around, see what the community's like. And if we get into the community gets into our church with the Lord Jesus Christ glorified, I guarantee we can do some great and mighty things for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, as we continue our studies throughout the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going verse by verse through this book, and we are in chapter number 9, verse number 15 tonight. Thank you again, church, for the wonderful, wonderful surprise of appreciation meal and offering last week, Sunday evening. What a blessing that was, and I appreciate the opportunity God has given us to be laborers together. And thank you for the fine meal and time of fellowship that we enjoyed last Sunday night. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 15. Last week we looked at the first the beginning of this chapter and how it was right to care for the man of God and the church, the pastor of the church. And we looked at it and saw how Paul defended the practice with custom, with the law, and then with the precedents set by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the priesthood and the temple and so forth and so on. And then here in chapter number 9, verse 15, we'll pick up reading right there. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do these things willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21, to them that are without the law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Tonight we're going to look at the preacher's primary motive. Now listen, last week we covered the financial care of that, and Paul begins here in verse number 15 to say, look, the motive for me preaching the gospel is not the care of my financial means. Whether I get cared for or not financially, I have a motive, and that motive is first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, listen, a lot of folks think for some odd reason that churches are all after money. That's all they're about. And I've got a few theories. I don't know if they're correct or not, but I do have a few theories. Here's theory number one, is the reason the world thinks that is because when they see somebody at the Publix or at Walmart with a table set out and they're selling wares and goods and saying it's for the church, it bothers them. Listen, it's okay for the Boy Scouts. It's okay for travel ball teams. It's okay for soccer ball teams. But I'm going to tell you, the way God's people are to finance God's work is through biblical means. And nowhere do you find God saying, go down to the local Walgreens and sit up a table and sell peanut brittle. Amen. He said, bring your offerings into the house of God on the first day of the week. Amen. So when the world sees that, they're just after money. They're never troubled. Listen, they never trouble when they go to a baseball game that they ask for money to get in the gate. Never bothers. Never bothers them whenever the guy comes around selling pickles and popcorn. Does you know, give me one of them. It's $5. Don't bother. But for some reason or another, they see it. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because of our own doing as church. Not us, but as churches. As church, listen, when we go to camp to send our kids to camp, we ought to take care of that ourselves because it is a spiritual thing. It's not carnal. We're not doing something carnal. We're doing something spiritual. So we ask not the world to help us get our kids to camp. We do it within the body of Christ. So then they see, like I was raised, there was an evangelist come to our church when I was growing up. I think I must have been age 12 years old or something. And it was a great revival, and there was many visitors there that night. I remember the preaching. I remember the goings on, and the evangelist began to say that the Lord had told him that they should buy the pastor a brand new car, a Cadillac on top of that. And this is what they did. They had folks commit to buy a carburetor, to buy a hubcap, to buy an antenna. As you may see, nobody's going to stand up and say, I'll buy a $45,000 car. But they begin to deal with little items on the car. I'm telling you, when the lost people see that, all the church wants the money. What they should see is the church, with what God has blessed them with, reaching out into the community. We're not a storehouse where we need $55 million stored up. What funds we have is to be used for the gospel message and the gospel means. And Paul said, listen, my motive isn't money. My motive is the kingdom of God. And that should be our motive. should be our motive. And Paul had a passion to preach the gospel. Look at verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That was his passion. It wasn't the support from Philippi. It wasn't for the church of the support of the church at Corinth. It was not the support of any. His whole passion, dear friend, was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be our motive, dear friend, for everything we do in life. A good thermometer for what we do in life is what will this profit the kingdom of God? What will this profit in eternity? Because you know well as I do, when this life's over, Brother Robert, have y'all ever buried anybody with their good, all their goods? No. A rich lady out there in Texas, her husband made her promise that she'd bury him with all her money, all of his money. It was a promise. You got to do this. I've worked hard all my life for this money, and it's my money. And so she did. She buried him. She wrote him a check. Right in his coffin. When they walked up there, there was a check written out to him for everything that was in his bank account. Naked I came in this world. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, naked I'm going to return. Dust to dust, I'm going to go back into this earth. But what I do on this earth will remain with me in eternity if it's done with the right motives. Paul said, listen, my motive is the gospel. And woe unto me if I don't. If I do not preach the gospel, listen, I'm in grave danger. Do you think we're in a little bit of trouble in our churches around the world? The gospel, it seems to has, the gospel outreach has seemed to lose its precedence. It wasn't so in the first churches. Look in the book of Acts. They preached the word. They preached the word. They preached the word. And before long it was multitudes. But now what is it? Entertain this, entertain that, entertain this, all about me. I was reading another article today. It was about mega churches are now firing by the droves, and praise God for it, these rock star band worship leaders by the groves. Listen, they've hired some of these guys. One guy, he got mad. He said, "I had a job. All I had to do was go to a staff meeting, pick out six songs a week, and I got $100,000 a year." Praise worship leader. Couldn't read music, Brother Jim. They might as well hired me, brother, because I can't read music either. But you know what happened? He sounded good up here. He drew people. It's all about drawing a crowd and growing numerically without growing spiritually. And now they're realizing. That same guy who said church don't work 15 years ago, you know what he's writing now in the books? I was wrong. Why? Jesus Christ started the church. He said, gates of hell should not prevail again. Let me tell you something. We have to have emphasis on the church, the not the buildings, because that's another messed up area. It's not the building. It's these people. Not one time have I noticed a 2x4, Brother Victor, jump out of that wall and go on visitation with me. It's been people. People. Why? That's the church. This is the church. This is just a building, a facility. Praise God for it. I mean, it's a blessing. But if the hurricanes come and rip it down the next hurricane season, guess what? We can still meet down by the creek in a tent. Still have church. Reach our community. Because it's the people. It's the people. You know, we're not building a kingdom for ourselves. We're supposed to be reaching people that with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, listen, my motive is the gospel. And he began to adapt. Look at verse number 19. He would adapt with people. He was very adaptable, you might say. Look at verse number 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I think, and I do believe, he followed the example of the Lord Jesus Christ when he got into communities, was this. Think about it. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in his earthly ministry and he met that woman by the well. You remember the story? I must needs go to Jericho. And he got there and he began a conversation with this lady. He didn't talk about the stars. He didn't talk about fishing. He didn't talk about planting seeds. What did he talk about? What did Jesus talk about? He talked about water. Why? There was water there. She was coming to draw water. Jesus took the conversation at hand and looked at the conversation and said, what way can I guide or lead this to something spiritual? Apostle Paul followed that. Think about when the Lord Jesus Christ was around fishermen. What did he talk to Peter about? His nets. What did he tell Peter? Hey, go get a line and drop it down in there. And was it Peter? And bring out a coin. Why? He took the conversation. This is what Paul said. To the Jew, I became a Jew. He wasn't fixing to talk with Jewish people about eating pork rinds, dear friend. Wasn't going to happen. When Jesus was talking to farmers, what did he talk about? Seed by the wayside, good ground. The conversation at hand. Now listen, when we take this and apply it to today, when we're talking to school kids, dear friend, listen, they are interested in Facebook and Twitter and texting and emailing and they may be having a test in science or social studies. Listen, so you ask them, hey, how's that test going in whatever subject? And then you bring that conversation. You don't talk to them about living in Colorado and retiring when they're 65. You become all things to all people. Listen, you run upon a doctor. You don't talk to a doctor about plumbing. He calls plumbers. He don't do plumbing. When you run upon a carpenter, you talk to a carpenter about carpentry, but you're bringing the conversation into a point that it can roll into something spiritual. And that's what Paul's saying right here. He adapted, but he never compromised himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. He never let the conversations get out of hand and to a point where it was not bringing glory to God. Or that he could not back out and say, hey, this is somewhere I don't want to go. You ever got in a conversation, talking with people, and by the time you were deep into the conversation, you said, man, how in the world did I ever get here? Been there, done that, wore the t-shirt, walked out looking like a real big dummy. So you got to guard yourself. When we are in the work of the Lord, we need to be very careful. Take for instance, you're talking to a public school teacher. She teaches in a public school. He teaches in a public school. Listen, it's not the time to debate whether homeschooling or Christian schools is the route to go. It's not. No need to even go there. Well, preacher, I've got my opinion. Well, everybody's got two armpits. And they stink majority of the time. It ain't the time. If you're talking to a lawyer, it ain't the time to make those crazy lawyer jokes. You know, what's a lawyer at the bottom of the ocean? It's a good start, whatever. What? No, you adapt. You may be against lawyers, may not like lawyers, may not like school teachers. But we're in this for their soul, not their occupation. Got to have, what's the motive? The gospel. This person is a homemaker. We don't talk about women in the workforce. She's working. I'm telling you. You adapt. Sometimes you got to be careful that we're not pointing and looking down at folks, but we get to where they are and meet with them on a personal level. Paul said, I adapt. To the weak, I became weak. To the strong, I became strong. To the Jew, I became a Jew. I'm going to tell you something. He was very concerned. Think about Paul's burden for the Jews in Romans 19. He said, I say to the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed for Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen. According to the flesh. Think about the Gentiles. In verse 21, he said there, unto me, in Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less than least of all saints in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ. He had a burden for the weak. He had a burden for the strong. Hey, what was the reason for Paul's burden? Without Christ, he knew those people would spend eternity in a place called hell. Paul said, your money is not my motive. The kingdom of God is my motive. My burden is to reach people not with my intellect, because I'm telling you, he was a really smart guy, but to get to where they're at, that I might reach some with the gospel. Is that what he said there in verse 23? And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. With you. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. Connection's important. Very, very important. As much as I love hunting, as much as I love... And I posted something crazy on Facebook. I shared something from another friend on Facebook this week about... there's something... I don't even remember it. What did I say? What did I share? Something about vegetarians. Eat more bacon. Yeah, vegetarians are killing more plants day by day. We got to do something about this crisis. Eat more bacon. Listen, you run across a vegetarian in real life, not just sharing something on Facebook. It's not time to debate bacon. Their soul is more important than bacon. Okay, you know, if you're a hunter, it's not time to debate PETA. It's not. If you are a PETA person, following PETA, you're that type of person, listen, when you're dealing with somebody's soul, it's not time to tell them they're wrong about hunting. I hope that's recorded and they get a hold of that. They're tolerant about, they want tolerance, but they don't want to offer tolerance. Now let's move on quickly. So Paul had a burden. And listen, he moved that motive and that burden, that adaptability, he moved it in to show us that, hey, we had a great responsibility in front of us. Look at verse number 24. And know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, this is proper. Financially support the man of God, but it's not my motive. My motive is Christ and His kingdom. And I adapt to this person, to that person, to this person. You think about sometimes Sunday school teachers, especially Sister Rena, Sister Johnson, dealing with those little kids down there, little old precious things like that age. Listen, you got to get down there simple. Well, Sister Rena can't come out of Sunday school still talking to Sister Barbara in such a simple fashion. She has to adapt. We have to get where people are. And we got to understand, in this day and age which we live in, dear friend, we have a great responsibility with the gospel. Every Christian, dear friend, is in a race. It's what the Bible said, not I. The Bible said that. And every, verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Listen, we're in a race. Where did he get this from? Real near to Corinth, they used to have the Greek games. And they would do all these games, and they would run into the city of Corinth, and there would be the platform. It was one little step like that, about that high, up to the second step there. And then up there real high, about, I don't know, about 10 feet or so that high, there was another step up, and there would be the judge of the city of Corinth. He'd be there, and out there would be the forum. Out there, it'd be like this, and all the runners and all the racers would come up. And listen, if you won, you'd step up by yourself, the Bema Seat of Christ, by yourself, the judge. Everybody else is out there, and you would get your reward. You get your reward. Listen, what was their reward? Something that would fade away. A little old wreath, a little garland thing they'd crown them with. We're not looking for that, dear friend. One day we're going to have an incorruptible crown that does not fade away. But it's depending upon our race in this life. We run all, and we care for it. And we're careful to understand that the object of any race, Tony, the object of, if you was running a race, Tony, help me out here. If you was running a race, would it be your object to come in last? That would be your goal, to be the last one across the line, like a day late and dollar short. What would be your goal? First place. Hey, girls back there. Y'all just back there just talking. Hey, if you was running a race, what would be your goal? Come in sixth place? Anybody? Trenton, what place you want to come in if you was running a race? First place. Hey, listen, dear friend, we are in a race, and I don't want to come in last. I want to come in first place for my Lord Jesus Christ's sake. I want to be able to say, all this I've done for you. You remember in Revelation, laying the crowns at His feet? How are we going to do that? We're going to have to come in first place every now and then. We're going to have to strive. Not to become a castaway. Hey, think about that striving there. Look at what it says in verse 24. Know ye not that all, in verse 24, they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize, so run that you may obtain. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Paul knew where the finish line was, didn't he? I believe there's a lot of Christians who don't understand the finish line. The narrow way. A lot of folks running that broad way. The finish line's on the narrow way. The finish line is out there by the Lord Jesus Christ. I press toward the mark. Listen, we got to be very careful. Do we understand that we are not running uncertainly? You know, a lot of families, a lot of Christian families, a lot of pastors, a lot of deacons, a lot of trustees, a lot of Sunday school teachers have become a castaway. Why? Running uncertainly. They're beating the air. Shadow boxing. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we're in a spiritual battle. It's a real war. Just, hey, talking a big game isn't going to cut it. Your heart's got to be close to God. Talking about being a Christian, talking about living for God, talking. Listen, our talk has to match up with our walk. If not, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. A real race, a real fight, a real direction we are headed. Ask yourself this question. If we're all in a race, do we want to be like the blind leading the blind? Or do we want to run toward the finish line out there where the Lord Jesus Christ and God is so that we bring folks with us? You ever seen a race? A marathon? Sometimes they get so tired they're just actually following the person in front of them. You know, they got little markers out there, little race marked off, and they got people, hey, you're going the wrong, come this way. Wow, they get disoriented. A lot of folks disoriented in the Christian walk, aren't they? Following the philosophy of the world and, you know, going the way of the world and things of that nature. Let me tell you something. Whenever you talk about a castaway there, you know what it's talking about? In that Greek game, you got say you had six runners, six racers, and one, you're not supposed to drink no water. It's a 3-mile race. You're not supposed to have no help. You're supposed to stay on the track. You know, some races you got to stay in your lane. Can't get off your lane. What happens whenever you get out of your lane? What happens if the rules say you have to finish by yourself with no water in a 3-mile race and somebody offers you water and you take it? Judge sees it, what happens? Disqualified. That's what it's talking about. Cast away, disqualified. You know what it's talking about? Being placed on a shelf. Hey, when the Greek stood there and he stood there and the judge said, "Hope, don't come up there, you've been disqualified." He didn't lose his Greek citizenship. He was still a Greek. He was disqualified from the race. There's a lot of Christians. They talk big, try to run a race, run it in their own power, their own might, their own strength. And the judge of God, the almighty watchful eye of God, everything is open to him. He's looking down and he says, hey, you're disqualified. You're disqualified. You're still a child of God. You're still a citizen of heaven, but you're disqualified. You've become a castaway. You know what happens when you become a castaway? Usually a lot of folks that's following you, got their eyes on you, become castaways. Hey, we got a great responsibility. All these kids, our Sunday school classes, our families, our friends, they're watching. Unless I should become a castaway. You know what the Bible says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14? If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Paul said, my motive is the gospel. My reasoning behind my motive is folks need to hear that Jesus loves them and died for them. And with that, I am a steward of God and the steward of the things of God. What responsibility? What responsibility? Think about Brother Graham says he's going to go visit with his daughter up there at her house, a couple of 3-4 hours away. And he says, Brother Robert, I need you to watch my house. I need you to come by and listen. Water the grass, and I've got a couple of plants in the back. You know, make sure the tomato plants, pick the good ones off, water it, keep it away. You know, pick up my newspaper and everything. And, you know, when you're done and finish up, make sure you lock the door back. Yes, I'll do that. That will be a problem. I'll agree to do that. They make an agreement. Brother Graham and his daughter goes off. Brother Bernie goes over the first day, does exactly everything he's supposed to. Second day, everything. Exactly like he said. Everything you get. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, Brother Graham's coming back on the sixth day. On the fifth day, Brother Bernie says, I'm going to lock this door. What for? Ain't nobody bothered it all this time. I'm not turning. Listen, I'm not going to turn that water on and water these plants. Just not going to do it. Why should I? He's made an agreement. The ministry of reconciliation has been given to us. We have an agreement with God that we would keep the house, that we'd water, that we'd plant. Well, what if I only do it not just that one day? You know how many people quit the race with the finish line in sight? You're just as disqualified as if you never took one step. You didn't finish. You know what Paul said? I finished my race. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. The start and the beginning's great. But the marathon with Christ, He's the author and finisher of our faith. Church, I don't want to be disqualified. I know none of you want to be disqualified. I know none of you desire to be a castaway. But if it was, it is written and settled in heaven. So therefore, if it is written and settled in heaven, you can become a castaway. Or He would not have warned us. If there was no chance for me to become a castaway, that scripture would have never been written. But it was written as a warning for me to heed. Church, we got to heed. We got responsibility. Let's stand to our feet.